Okay, so today's talk, today's sutta sharing is from Samyutta Nikaya 12.15, Kacchana Gotta Sutta. And this sutta talk about right view. Since right view is very important in the teaching of the Buddha, therefore I choose this sutta to share. Let us start with the sutta. At Savatthi, then the Venerable Kacchana Gotta approached the Blessed One, paid homage to him, sat down to one side, and said to him, "Venerable Sir, it is said, right view, right view. In what way, Venerable Sir, is there right view?" This world, Kacchana, for the most part depends upon a duality, upon a notion of existence and the notion of non-existence. Okay. Before I proceed, I would like to explain little bit notion of existence and the notion of non-existence. Please take note that here mentioned notion mean a type of view. So the view or notion of existence shows that is equivalent or similar to eternalism view, Satadhiti. And this view said that everything exists. When things exist, it exists forever, and it never come to cessation, never come to destruction. Simple view is for most people, especially Asian people, they hold the view that there is eternal soul, and this eternal soul will transmigrate from one existence to another existence, and this eternal soul will never come to cessation and will never come to destruction. Therefore, because of people do not see things as they really are through the development of insight. Therefore, they hold this notion of existence, or another word, eternalism view. And another notion is notion of non-existence. Just opposite with the notion of existence. And this notion of non-existence say that when one die, then everything ceases, nothing remain. And it's also equivalent to Uccetaditi, annihilation view. So for most people, they are engaged, they are, they engage with these two notion of existence and the notion of non-existence. And Buddha continued to say, "But for one who sees the origin of the world as it really is with correct wisdom, there's no notion of non-existence in regard to the world." Okay. Let us see some of the important word before I proceed to sutta. First, Buddha said, for one who sees the origin of the world. Okay, what is this origin? When we talk about origin, it conveys two meanings. One is the arising is the origin. Another one is the causes of arising. Okay, the next is the origin of the world. When we talk about the world in the teaching of the Buddha, it doesn't mean that this world, this universe, no. When Buddha talk about the world, usually it refers to the world of formations. If we summarize the world of formation, it means that the worlds or the formation or the worlds, the things, the formation that produced by causes and conditions. It's called the world of formations. And if we summarize the world of formations, in short, it means the five aggregates of clinging. It's called the world of formations. Okay, so for one who sees the origin, who sees the arising of the five aggregate or the world of formations together with its causes, as it really is. When we say about as it really is with correct wisdom, and this shows that he sees things really correctly with inside knowledge, not by theoretical understanding. Yatha Buddha, Yana, Dasana. Yatha Buddha, see things as they really are, or as it really is, Yana, Dasana, with correct wisdom. So when one sees the five aggregates of clinging keep on arising. Let me explain what are the five aggregates. I assume all of you know, but just want to remind. First is form aggregate. Second is feeling aggregate. Third is perception aggregate, and the fourth is formation aggregate, and the fifth is consciousness aggregate. So if a yogi keeps on seeing, let's say, take one aggregate as example, feeling. When a yogi keeps on seeing feeling arise again, and next moment another feeling arises again, and next moment another feeling arises again. And he also understands each arising of feeling is conditioned by causes. For example, conditioned by having the five sense organ or five sense places and having the five sense object, and also because of the contact of the sense object with the sense places, therefore feeling arises. So take this example. When a yogi keeps on the arising of one of the five aggregates, five aggregates, depend on causes. And so long the causes are still intact, then the formation will keep on arising. So if he can see things, if he can see it as it really is with correct wisdom, then he will not entertain the notion of non-existence in regard to the world. I hope it's clear to you. Okay? And for the, then Buddha continued to say, and for one who sees the cessation of the world as it really is with correct wisdom, there's no notion of existence in regard to the world. So this is another, it's just opposite. And for one who sees the cessation of the world, how can a yogi see the cessation of the world? For example, when let us take back the feeling aggregate. So when a yogi keeps on, discerning the feeling and keeps on seeing the feeling passing away, and arising and passing away again. And finally, he reaches a state when the causes for the feeling to pass away, completely cease without remainder, then we understand. When cease the cessation of the world of five aggregates, as it really is with correct wisdom, then this yogi will not entertain the notion of existence in regard to the world. Therefore, the Buddha said, and for the one who sees the cessation of the world as it really is with correct wisdom, there's no notion of existence in regard to the world. So in this paragraph, Buddha just want to mention that most people engage in the notion of existence and the notion of non-existence simply because they do not see things as they really are. And for one who sees the notion of existence, because he, a yogi, did not see the formations keep on passing away. He just see the arising of his feeling, arising of his consciousness, arising of his body sensation, the four elements in the body, without seeing his cessation or passing away. So once the yogi only see arising and without seeing cessation, therefore, he will hold the view or the notion of existence. And this Buddha said, not seeing things as it really is with correct wisdom. And for another person, if he only sees cessation, without seeing arising, then he will have the view of non-existence in regard to the world. So, and this non-existence in regard to the world causes the annihilation view, which is one of the extreme. So, what the Buddha is trying to say is that all these are speculative view, not true our correct seeing with wisdom. And because of not seeing things as they really are, then people, most people depend on this duality, upon the notion of existence and the notion of non-existence. Okay, let us continue. This word, kacchana, is for the most part shaken by engagement, clinging, and adherence. So when Buddha talked about this, this word means the being who live in this world, for the most part shaken by engagement, clinging, and adherence. This refers to engagement in one's view. Engagement, a cling to one's view, and adherence, adhere to one's view. Since this sutta is deal with a view. But this one, with right view, this yogi, this person with right view, does not become engaged and cling to that engagement and clinging. Mental standpoint, adherence, underlying tendency. It does not take a stand about myself. So, but this one with right view, when talk about the right view, when Buddha say about this one with right view is the one, is a yogi, through his practical experience, he sees things arise due to causes and condition, and things ceases due to the cessation of causes and condition. So when this one, when he sees this Is this the dependent arising phenomena and the dependent cessation phenomena? Then he does not become engaged and cling to that engagement. He does not become engaged with the view, and also he does not cling to that engagement and clinging. Mental standpoint. He will not argue with people. No, I know what my view is correct, your view is wrong, and so on. An adherent underlying tendency. So he will not engage or cling to the view, the wrong view by his correct seeing. And he does not take a stand about myself. Okay, now the question comes. Why he does not take a stand about myself? As I have explained previously, because this yogi, he sees dependent origination. Whatever arises in his mind and body, whether it's body sensation or four elements, or feeling, pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant, or any perception, or any formation, different states of the mind. For example, anger state of the mind, greed, delusion, covetousness, jealousy, sloth and torpor, restlessness, skeptical doubt, and different type of consciousness, eye consciousness, ear consciousness, body consciousness, and mind consciousness, and so on. Whatever arise, he understand all this is conditioned by certain causes. As I mentioned, no? For example, for the feeling to arise, it depends on sense basis, object, contact, attention, and so on. So when he sees whatever arises is conditioned by causes, and whatever ceases is also due to the cessation of the causes. So he did not see there is a governor, or there's an actor, or there's a creator, or there's a doer. He did not see there is a self, there's a self govern the whole process. And since he sees no self, only cause and condition, therefore it does not take a stand about myself. I hope that is clear to you. Okay, then he has no perplexity or doubt that what arises is only suffering arising. What ceases is only suffering ceasing. This is such an important statement. And this is very profound statement. And this statement I like most in the teaching of the Buddha. So when this yogi, through his practical experience in insight meditation, and he sees no self, just cause and condition, just a relationship of cause and condition, then he has no perplexity or doubt that what arises is only suffering arising, what ceases is only suffering ceasing. Okay, let us explain a little bit more. What arises is only suffering arising. Okay, when Buddha said what arises, let us come back to our own practical experiences. So what arises is only through our body and mind, right? Nothing else. So what arises from body and mind, none other than four elements in the ultimate reality. Or in a conventional truth, you can say whatever sensation that arises from the body. But in the ultimate reality, it's only four elements, right? So whatever elements that arise in the body, you just see impermanent, impermanent. For example, the heat, once you observe, it goes away. And the hardness, once you observe, it goes away. You know? And the vibration, once you observe, then it changes to other places and so on. And whatever feelings, whether pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, and neither pleasant nor unpleasant, if you can observe it accurately with the intention to see it passing away, then you will see it passing away soon. But if you entertain the perception of permanent, then you will not see it passing away. Simply because of your perverted view that thing is permanent, that block your correct seeing of impermanent. And whatever arises from the different state of the mind, whether it's good state, for example, generosity, loving kindness, compassion, and sympathetic joy, and so on, or jhana, or unwholesome state of the mind affected by anger, greed, delusion, and so on. If you observe them accurately with perception of impermanent in your mind and pay attention to its passing away, impermanent or disappearance, you will soon see it passing away. If you cannot see it passing away through practical experience, let me give you a very easy understand example. Now you say metta. Let's say, now I say metta to my friend for 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, I stop sending metta. Then the metta mental state, owing to my stopping of sending metta, it will disappear from my mind, right? Therefore, whatever state of the mind, the generosity you have, let's say you just perform a generosity, then after that you go back home and you become angry with your son and daughter, then the generosity state of the mind changes to the anger state of the mind. So from this very coarse, very rough and coarse, gross example I just given to you, you can easily understand whatever state of the mind, when observed, is impermanent. And also, whatever, you know, hindrances, five hindrances, they are also impermanent. They arise and dependent on causes. The sloth and torpor is not always there. The restlessness is not always there. The doubt is not always there. Only condition, cause and condition for them to arise. They simply arise. And then they cease. So through our own either practical experience or through our life experience without insight, we come to understand what arises are subject to cessation. And if a yogi goes a little bit deeper through his insight experience, then this yogi will come to a state. When he experienced the impermanent, let's say, feeling, I would like to take feeling because it's very easy to experience feeling. Let's say a pleasant feeling arises in your mind. Then you take this pleasant feeling as object, hold it, then contemplate or incline your mind, direct your mind to see its cessation, its passing away. So as you hold the object with mindfulness, and using the wisdom to see its impermanent, and soon you will see this pleasant feeling arising, passing away, arising, passing away, arising, passing away with tremendous speed. This is called continuously, not only one arising, passing away, no. It's constantly arising, passing away with tremendous speed and to an extent, you no more see unpleasant feeling. What appear in your insight is just process of arising, passing away, arising, passing away, arising, passing away. It's called insight. Number four, insight of arising and passing away. So when a yogi reached this state, then he will come to understand what Buddha said. Being oppressed by constant arising and passing away is suffering, is dukkha, is unsatisfactory, is unwished for, is undesirable. And this is called dukkha, inside knowledge of dukkha in the teaching of the Buddha. So if he come to this state, if a yogi come to this state, then he understand what Buddha said. He has no perplexity or doubt that what arises is only suffering arising. Buddha said only suffering arising, not a person, not a being, not he, not she, and not me. Because this yogi, when he keeps on seeing arising, passing away, and being oppressed by constant arising, passing away, his dukkha, he also see the whole process has no self, has no permanent self who can exercise control over the arising and passing away. Because this is the natural law, the reality that no one can deny it and no one can exercise control over the whole process of arising and passing away. So this yogi come to understand there's no self, there's no governor, there's no actor, there's no creator, and there's no doer. Simply, it's a process of arising and passing away, and this process is dukkha. So he has no doubt of perplexity that what arises is only suffering arising, what ceases is only suffering ceasing. And his knowledge about this is independent of others. At this time, his knowledge does not depend on the Buddha anymore. He did not say that this is what Buddha said, or he did not say this is what my teacher said. His knowledge about this means what arises is only suffering arising, what ceases is only suffering ceasing. There's no self, permanent self, there's no he, she, there's no permanent entity. So his knowledge about this is independent of others, independent of teachers or others. It's through his seeing things as really are with correct wisdom. Yatha Buddha Yana Dasana. It's in this way, Kachana, that there is right view. Right view about no self, no notion of existence. The right view about no self. And also the right view about no more. He has no more notion of existence and the notion of non-existence, and also the notion of self. It's in this way, Kachana, that there is right view. Right view about everything arise depend on cause and conditions. When cause and conditions cease, then everything will come to cessation. this called right view, the right view of dependent origination. And Buddha continued to say, all exists. Kachana, this is one extreme. All exists is the notion of existence or eternalism view. This is one extreme. All does not exist. This is annihilation view or the notion of non-existent. This is the second extreme. Without veering towards either of these extremes, the Tathagata teaches the Dhamma by the middle. By the middle. With ignorance as condition, volitional formations come to be. I think this formula of dependent origin, I think you are very familiar with this formula of dependent origination. And if you read Samyutta Nikaya 12, it's all about dependent origination. And if you want to know more detail, you can read my book, Unraveling of Mystery of Mind and Body. If you don't have this book, you can go to my website and download this book. I have put in my website for free downloading. And in this talk, because today we don't have much time to go through each one. In order to explain all this dependent origination, it may take me another 2 hours. Okay, so here I will roughly just tell you only. So the Tathagata teach the Dhamma by the middle with ignorance as condition. What is the ignorance? Ignorant about Four Noble Truths. Not understanding the truth of suffering, which is clinging to the five aggregates. Not understand the origin of the suffering, which is craving. Craving for existence, want to come back to the world again and again. And craving for the sensual pleasures, want to enjoy sensual pleasures through the six sense senses, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind. And not understanding, not understanding all the suffering will come to cessation. And not understanding there is a path leading to the cessation of all suffering. So without understanding the Four Noble Truths, therefore one perform various volitional formations, such as mental volitional formations and physical volitional formations and verbal volitional formations. When one perform different volitional formations, then with volitional formations as condition, consciousness come to be. Because with volitional formations rooted in ignorance and craving, then consciousness find a foothold, to spring up. Now, consciousness cannot spring up when there's no formation rooted in ignorance and craving. So since this formation is conditioned by ignorance of not understanding Four Noble Truths associated with the craving, you know, for the existence and craving for sensual pleasures, then this formation are called karma. When each karma, when karma is performed, it leaves behind karmic energy. And this causes the consciousness to spring up. And when there's consciousness, there's Nama Rupa, there's mind and body, right? Consciousness is the forerunner. In the Dhammapada, Buddha said, mind is the forerunner. So here mind refers to consciousness. When there's consciousness, there is mental factors. So mind and body, that mind refers to mental factors. And body, mind and body, body refers to four elements with derived materiality. So when there's consciousness, then mental factors mental factor and body, which is four elements, and arise. So with the arise of mind and body, then six sense bases come to be. Six sense bases refer to eye, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind. When there's six sense bases, there is contact, right? Eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, and so on. And when there's contact, there's feeling, pleasant feeling, eye contact. When I come to the visible, pleasant visible object, then there's pleasant feeling. When the eye comes to unpleasant visible object, there's unpleasant feeling. When the eyes come to contact with neither pleasant nor unpleasant object, there is neutral feeling. So feeling, a contact condition feeling. And when there's pleasant feeling, there's craving for it, right? We crave for the pleasant feeling. Therefore, and we want more and more this crave. We want more and more this pleasant feeling. So craving become intensified to become clinging. Clinging is intense. So depend on craving. Clinging comes to be, and clinging is intensified craving. When the craving becomes so intense, then you want to get it. Without get it, you are not satisfied, right? So to get it, to fulfill this pleasant feeling, then you cannot sit there doing nothing, right? You have to act, either act verbally or physically. And this action is called karma. Karma, or we call bhava. Craving depend on craving, bhava, or called becoming, or existence, come to be. So because of clinging, becoming comes to be. So when a person has intense clinging, then he got to act. And this action also leave behind energy. They cause becoming. This becoming can be a pleasant becoming of new five aggregate from moment to moment. Or this becoming is a potentiality that cause rebirth in the future. Therefore, Buddha say, depend on becoming, birth, the birth come to be. Birth is a new arising of new set of five aggregate in new existence. That's called birth. The arising of five aggregate in a new existence is called birth. And when there's birth, aging, sickness and death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, despair, thus arise the whole mess of suffering. So Buddha did not say, thus arise a being. No. Buddha said, thus arise the whole mess of suffering. So this is how the suffering comes about. So what arises is only suffering arises. What ceases is only suffering ceases. Then how suffering can come to cessation? Only when with the remainderless fading away and cessation of ignorance, then comes cessation of volitional formation. With the cessation of volitional formations, then cessation of consciousness. So this suffering will come to the end only when the ignorant come to cessation without remainder. Then the rest also will come to cessation. Okay, so this roughly about this talk. So if you want to know better about dependent origination, please read my book, Unraveling of Mystery and Mind, unraveling the mystery of mind and body. Okay, so for the time being, let us stop here.